Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four.
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Inside the 8 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. Almost Friday. Friday Eve. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson on The Fan. We're talking about the Yankees. I'm in here watching Yankee Encore. I just got a note about the Yankees. You know, I don't play 50-50 really anywhere ever. Shout out to my boy, Joe's McFly. He went down to Tampa, played the 50-50 as a Yankee fan going to see the Rays, and he won. I'm like, I don't have that kind of luck in life. I've got blessings and talent and other things. I will never win a 50-50. I stopped a long time ago, but now I was sent a link to the 50-50 and a note about the 50-50 as I'm telling fans, play the 50-50. We'll fund this thing for Juan Soto. The 50-50, the Yankees don't collect that money. That money goes to charity and whoever wins. But tickets go to the Yankees. You can buy tickets and sure, concessions or whatever. It doesn't matter. They make so much money. Like, what are we actually talking about? What we're talking about with Hal Steinbrenner is him saying, yo, it's not sustainable for us to have these high payrolls every single year. And I honestly think he was foreshadowing. Because if you look at the roster, if you look at the money coming off the books, if you look at the young players that are emerging, it makes sense. They're not going to have over $300 million payroll and pay 110% and lose draft picks and money go to the bottom feeder teams. He was in a room with other Major League Baseball owners. And now we have other players, like obviously Steve Cohen. It's the Steve Cohen tax. So Steve Cohen couldn't come in with his billions and say, yeah, I want everybody. But there should be a salary floor. There should be a minimum spend. These bum teams shouldn't be able to just say, oh, yeah, well, we've got a great scouting department or whatever, and we're able to, field the team and compete with nothing. I also think what Hal was saying is we don't need to have this high of a payroll to compete. So 877, that's not the number anymore. 888-808-1019. Call me up. We'll keep this Yankee conversation going through this next hour about the team. I'm going to start to lean more into the team and less of the financial stuff and the payroll because it doesn't matter. What are we talking about? It's May. You guys are so scared that Juan Soto, like I have full confidence that Juan Soto wants to be here, but the Yankees want him to be here. Scott Boras wants this deal to get done. Like, let's talk about that too. As I was talking to, I think, John from Masbeth about these extensions and these deals that the Braves do, Scott Boras, big bad Bond villain of baseball, he had the Boras Five this year. Cody Bellinger, JD Martinez, Matt Chapman, Jordan Montgomery, and Blake Snell. All of those guys went to Scott Boras thinking, I'm going to get a Garrett Cole 9-year mega deal. None of them got a deal longer than 2-3 years, 2 years with an option for a third. That's a fail. That's not good on Scott Boras. Scott Boras isn't proud about that, but it's almost like the owners and the GMs worked against him. No, we don't have to give you these long deals. We don't have to. Blake Snell, the Yankees allegedly offered Blake Snell a 6-year deal, and he turned it down. And then he had to take a deal from the Giants last minute, like 3 weeks into spring training. And look, he's hurt. Like, it didn't help him. He was bad. He was not effective. He wasn't good. And then he was injured. And that seemed to be the thing. Like, even Jordan Montgomery, slow start. JD Martinez hurt, slow start. Cody Bellinger hurt. So not only did Scott Boras F up the money, he messed up these guys physically because they weren't signed and into camp. 888-808-1019. So looking at this upcoming offseason, looking at Juan Soto and Pete Alonso, what do you think is going to happen? They better get to work on it soon. I don't think Pete Alonso. I think Pete Alonso gets potentially traded. I don't think Pete Alonso gets the deal he's looking for. Allegedly, he was offered 7 years, around $158 million or something like that, and turned it down. I think Scott Boras is looking to redeem himself, and he can redeem himself with the New York Yankees. But, of course, he's going to test free agency. And I think that Steve Cohen and Hal Steinbrenner have a relationship. I don't know how much of a relationship. I know I was in Legends and saw Steve Cohen Subway Series 2 years ago. I was sitting right by him, went up, talked to him, took a picture. If you follow me online, you've seen that picture of me with the thumbs up. That was the night that Pharrell Williams was there debuting the Billionaire Boys Club collab with the Yankees, right? Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen had like a handshake agreement. We listened to the fan, and all these fans called in to say, how come Steve Cohen didn't at least make an offer to Aaron Judge? There's no reason to. There's no point to. He's a man of his word. He told Hal, hey, I'm not going to go after your guy. I'm not playing like that. We share a city. So coming up here with Juan Soto, yeah, I expect him to bid for Juan Soto. I expect that to be different because that's not a drafted, homegrown talent. That's a guy that, okay, he's been here for a year. Maybe he likes New York and is willing to potentially play for the other team, but I doubt it. The Mets are bums consistently. And, like, that's not me trolling or punching down. That's facts. Like, I jokingly said they can't lose tonight. They paid Edwin Diaz. Now, he's not the closer that you thought he was. You put an LED light system in for his entrance. Now, when he enters the game in the fourth inning, fifth inning, you know, like, there's no lights. There's no trumpets. I told you Timmy Trumpet was cursed. As soon as Timmy Trumpet comes here and says, I can't wait to return to perform this song in the World Series. Oh, no. Oh, no. Only the Mets. Francisco Lindor, $341 million for Francisco Lindor. I think David Stearns is going to try and undo all of this. All of the Billy Epler moves. All of the Steve Cohen moves. All of the contracts that were given out before. All of them. From as small as McNeil's deal to Lindor's deal. Edwin Diaz, if anybody wants, like, whatever. Start working the phones. 877-337. That's not the number anymore. 888-808. 1019. It's interesting with this new number, right? Because obviously all of us are like trained and programmed as hosts to, like, you know, say a sentence, finish a thought, and deliver the number for you to respond and say, all right, I'm going to call this guy and tell him that the Mets are my favorite team ever and that I've got season tickets to go to Citi Field and he better watch it talking about Mr. Met. But now with this new number, this is going to take a while for us to get it right. Now I got to just get the old number out of my mind. But yeah, you understand what I'm saying. I did the comparison of like Nike and Puma. I wouldn't even say Nike and Adidas. The Yankees are Nike. The Mets are Puma. Nobody wants to wear those Pumas, bro. You're already with Nike. Juan Soto is loving it in the Bronx. Literally mentioned the Dominicans. I know there's some Dominicans in Queens too, but not De La Mio Personal like there is in the BX. If you've ever walked around the Bronx like I have, you understand what I'm talking about. So it just to me is like, it doesn't make any sense. The Mets team sucks. They're dysfunctional. They lose. And where you are right now with David Stearns as a new president of baseball operations, the only guy you were trying to go after, perfect example to segue here before we get back to the phones, right? The only guy you were really going after this offseason before, surprise, J.D. Martinez fell into your lap, which J.D. Martinez is another good example, too, talking about brands and teams. The Giants offered him supposedly more money than the Mets. He didn't want to play in San Francisco for the Giants. This guy actually got on a podium and said he's addicted to postseason baseball, and he's joining the Mets because he thinks that gives him a better shot. There is a such thing, because I see a lot of people online talking about, Soto's taking the most money. If you think he cares about a brand, no, he does care about a brand. And the Yankees aren't going to offer him half of what the Mets are going to offer him. The Mets offered Yamamoto so much money, went all the way to Japan to see him and his whole family, wine and dine them, take him to a French cuisine. Then Joel Wolf and Yamamoto played the Mets a second time, came to New York, went to Steve Cohen's estate, drove the number up to $325 million just to go back to Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers and say, can you match this? I don't want to play over there. Done. So what do you think is going to happen in this offseason? Scott Boras is going to talk to Steve Cohen, and we're going to hear all these rumors from Joel Sherman, John Heyman, more so John Heyman. You know, all of these reporters talking about alleged Andy Martino about what's going on, and then eventually it's going to break that Juan Soto signs with the New York Yankees for X amount of money. And for all of you bozos that say Hal is cheap and George is rolling over, blah, 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 like Juan Soto is a Yankee forever, the end. Joe is in Kelowna on the Fan. Go for it, Joe.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I love your show. I love you. You're awesome. Keep on trucking. You did an awesome job with the Yankee games. My question to you is, what was the highlight, calling the Yankee games or getting a roll call? And I'll hang up and listen to you. Thank you, my brother.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the compliments. I thought you were going to say, like I like your show, I like your but no. I've talked about this a bunch, but I think it's been late, so this is an early time. And I went Tuesday to 203 to thank the creatures, and I've been, you know, thanking Tina and Mark and everybody. And creatures, I got y'all, man. We're working on some stuff, but it was such a system overload. It was so overwhelming for me, you know, doing these late night shows and then being asked to call the Yankee game on Friday. I love Friday night at Yankee Stadium. That's my favorite night. If someone said you get one night a week to go to a Yankee game, it's a Friday night vibe in the boogie down Bronx. There's nothing like, you know, the week ending, the sun going down, and you know, the Yankees starting a series. But it was such an overload for me. Like, even driving there, I'm paranoid. I'm like, I can't crash. I can't get pulled over. Like, I'm trying to get to the stadium early. I'm in a suit. And, you know, I'm listening to, like, a White Sox podcast to know more about this White Sox team. And obviously, I know about the Yankees. And then, you know, the Yankees print out all these stats and at a glance, all this info about the team. And then, you know, they give you the, you know, the lineup, and you can score the game. I'm not Evan Roberts. I don't score baseball games. I don't do that. Like, it's just a lot going on. And then there's the ad reads. And, like, I know I messed up a bunch of times. The ad reads come to you in, like, flashcards. And I'm just trying to, you know, zip through the flashcards and not even thinking about the time on the clock and the whatever. But it was a system overload for me. My heart was exploding because I'm a fan. And I just, I don't know, I didn't imagine myself in that seat this fast. And the game started, and I'm not trying to overstep Justin, who is a pro's pro. Shout out to Jay Shaq. Man, like, that's my guy. I got to give flowers to Justin, because on John Sterling Day, I went out of my way to go grab Justin and say, be you. Keep rocking. John is stepping out now. You don't have to be John, but, like, grow into who you are. There is no more John Sterling calling the games. Like, you got it. And same to E-Man. John called Emmanuel Emilio before the game that day. Like, so these guys are my friends. These guys are people that I respect and work with. And Justin helped me out a ton because he had the reps and the experience. I had never called a baseball game. The last time I called any kind of game was 20 years ago, calling an Ocean Township Pop Warner football game, junior pee-wee midget on Sunday. I used to get paid $50 to go to the top of Corelli Field behind my high school and call the game over the loudspeaker. So I'd never called a baseball game. I love the Yankees. I'm so used to pulling up to the stadium and doing the things that I used to do, but now I am part of the broadcast. And what was the highlight? The highlight was obviously the roll call. When I heard them chant Keith McPherson, that goes back to high school too. I hadn't heard Keith McPherson chanted like that since high school football. And I almost cried on air. And you guys have heard me cry on this microphone. It's emotional, man. It's a dream come true. And I had my binoculars, and I was able to look out to 203 and see everybody. And I was just like, man, this is nuts. Like, I don't play for the Yankees. I'm not a player. John Sterling got a roll call on his day, you know, his last day, on his day being honored on his way out, his last day on the broadcast. I got a roll call on my first day doing it, and my second day. That was a highlight. I'll never forget that. I cannot wait until my son gets older and learns about the roll call, and then I can go to the video, and you know, his name's Jackson McPherson, and he can watch the video and hear the roll call, Keith McPherson, and look at me and understand, like, what it took to get there. But the real highlight for me, two things. Susan's keys to the game. I got to write out my keys to the game. I nailed them. If you guys remember what I was saying, like, I was spot on with my predictions of what needed to happen. I'm trying to remember now. I said Nestor needed to go 6-7 innings.
I said Luis Gil needed to have his command, his control, and dominate the lineup, and he did that the next game. I talked about the offense continuing to roll behind Aaron Judge. That first game, Aaron Judge hits that home run in the first inning to break it open, and everybody could relax. I talked about in the second game the bottom of the order getting going, saying that, hey, you know, the middle of the order is doing it. You bottom of the order guys get going too. And Trevi hit a homer. John Birdie got a hit. What else? I don't know. There's a few things. So I just like that, you know, what I put out there for my keys to the game kind of came true. And then the other highlight that you guys didn't see, and it's just funny because I read everything on the internet, and I'm like, man, there's so many bozos on the internet that'll never get close to doing this stuff, and they just are so critical and negative. You know, somebody's like, he didn't talk for the whole eighth inning or ninth inning. Yeah, because I had to get escorted downstairs, which I'd never been, through the tunnel, downstairs to the visitor's dugout and come up on the field. I had to leave in the eighth inning to do Susan Starr the game, and it was literally an out of body experience. I've been on the field for photo day, but I never thought I would be on the field. Like, they play Frank and you hear bum 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 and everybody runs, the camera guys run, the field crew runs, they're shaking hands. The first day I just was in awe. I'm just singing Start Spreading the News, looking up at the lights and the fans all celebrating. And by the time I got to Zillow, Zillow's like, you got to hurry up. You got to get over here. You got to tell me what player you want. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm like, I'll take Giancarlo Stanton. And I talked to Stanton, and I said to Stanton, I let him know that him and Judge were the first duo with double-digit homers in the AL. That has changed. Now we've got Soto in that group. And I asked him, I'm like, that first ball you hit off the wall, what did you do between innings? Did you take a look at it on the iPad? Like, what did you do? The first one you hit off the wall, the second one you hit out like a rocket. And he's like, oh, I went in and I did some push-ups in between. So I took that little nugget and I saved it for the next day. And Giancarlo Stanton comes up. He hits a ball off the wall on Saturday. And on the broadcast, I say, hey, I bet you he's going to do some push-ups in between and hit the next one out. Spot on. Called it again. And then Major League Baseball used that call in their game recap. That's forever on film room. I can show my kid. It's me laughing about, hey, he did some push-ups. The first one didn't go out. He did some push-ups, hit the second one out. The same thing happened last night. So, man, it was special for me to get to do that. And those were the highlights. The roll call, my keys to the game actually coming true and being correct. And then getting to go on the field and be in the... I got to walk through the Yankees dugout. I got to lay eyes on the clubhouse. I got to dap up Juan Soto. Bro, I saw El Duque. Like, I was freaking out. El Duque was just chilling there. Like, it was cool. Like nothing. Like, El Duque was just hanging out like he wasn't Orlando Hernandez, El Duque. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you're doing the high knee kick. And, like, everybody, I used to curve my hat like him. So, I started talking to him. I asked him for a video. He was so nice about it. And Universe Never Unconnects. Luis Gil broke his rookie record that day. He threw out the first pitch. Man, I'll never forget that stuff. It was everything to me. If I never get to do it again, that was perfect. And I know I messed up 20 different times. And shout out to Rick and Connor and Justin helping me, because they could tell my heart is beating 1,000 miles a minute. And I was just trying to keep my composure, keep it together, not overstep boundaries, not talk too much. And in this pitch clock era, right, the first game I got Nestor Cortez on the mound. Nestor's going to do a little leg kick, turn his back, take his time, and then he's going to quick pitch you. So you got to watch all that and not talk over the pitch, because everybody listening wants to hear the balls and strikes and what happens in the play. So, yeah, that was fun. Anyway.
I was here doing it from here, the producing in the studio, and even like in the first inning, I could hear, like, I hear the creatures giving you the roll call. I'm like, there's no way. And I was like,
that's what I said, oh wow. And I like, so
yeah, I could hear you say wow.
I moved the mic from my mouth, and that's another thing too. It's a headset, not a microphone like this. That's a different experience.
Yeah.
Everything you do, they hear, right? We listen to the game every night. You hear Susan. You get everything. I just did not want to cry. I'm like, I can't. I've cried on WFAN twice in regards to my brother, and then Sam from Monmouth County telling me, you know, how his brother passed, and he was listening to my show when he went to go see him at Memorial Sloan Kettering as a way to escape. And I'm like, I can't be the guy that cries. Like, there's no crying in baseball, Edwin Diaz. So 888-808-1019. Barry's in Freehold. Barry, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. I just want to say Joe stole my thunder. I was going to ask you pretty much exactly the same thing that he asked you, but so I just want to say, number one, I've been listening to you since day one on WFAN, and you are terrific, my friend, and I truly mean that. Number two, listening to you last weekend, and I'm sorry I'm calling so late on it. This is my first opportunity, but listening to you with those two games last week, man, let me tell you something. It was refreshing because you were coming at it not only as a commentator, but as a fan. And that came through, and that's really refreshing. And I think finding that as your own way, perfect, man. 10 stars. Ten stars, man. Keep doing what you do, brother. And you know what? Jay Shaq and K-Mac, hopefully be a new team. I'm hoping you're going to call more games. God bless you, brother. I'm going to hang up and listen. But seriously, I think you are wonderful. And your struggle early on, look, man, God bless you. And it's paying dividends for you now, brother, and may continue in the future.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, Jay Shaq and K-Mac, just something quickly I came up with before we went on. Yeah, I'm glad people enjoyed it. Because it's nerve-wracking. Man, Friday night, I didn't sleep at all. I didn't sleep at all, and the turnaround is so fast. It made me understand why John was like, I don't want to work anymore. Because the turnaround from a Friday night game to try and go to sleep, come down from that, go to sleep, get up and come right back to the ballpark. Booney on Saturday, Boone was kind of, you know, messing with me on the field. He goes, if you're doing Susan's job, you're supposed to come here early. You're supposed to come to the clubhouse, interview me for the managers. I'm like, nah, I'm not like that. I'm not a reporter. I'm not trying to overstep. I'm filling in for Susan, but I'm doing what they told me to do. I'm not trying to, you know, he was just, you know, making a joke, but like, it was crazy. Even, you know, Shackle, when I went back up, he's like, what did Booney say to you on the field? I'm like, I have a relationship with Boone now because I did an event with him and, you know, was able to talk to him. And it's not the first time I was around him. And in spring training, he told me to come down to the clubhouse, but I got sick and I didn't do it. So then now when he sees me on the field, he's like, if you're doing Susan's job, you're supposed to come to the clubhouse. I told him, like, nah, I'm scared. Like, I'm not a reporter. I feel like I don't belong. Like, I've always come to the stadium as a fan. And on the broadcast, I had to, like, turn my fan down. Like, I want to bark, but I have a headset on. The two out wail. I'm looking at everybody like, yo, get up, clap, make noise, come on. They're doing the wave. I'm like, yo, somebody stop that. So it was a lot of fun for me. I try to tell people on air, don't take me so seriously, bro. I'm having the time of my life. I'm blessed that I've gotten to this point just being a fan. I'm blessed that people in the Yankee organization and WFAN thought enough to put me in that seat, and I did the best that I could on no sleep, on short notice, and never calling a baseball game before. And I think it was just a little one-off alternate, and I'm glad people enjoyed it. So thank you, guys. Bruce is in Flushing on the Fan. You got it, Bruce.
Hey, Keith. See? I told you the same thing. You should interview Booney. And you said you weren't going to do it. Even Booney.
He was expecting it. Yeah, you were right.
A few Yankee points. Number one. I'm only going to say this once. You and I both agree Soto is staying with the Yankees. But I'm going to give it an added thing. I think it's 50-50 that there's a contract extension before the season's out. And, you know, I kind of get angry when I hear media people say, well, Scott Boras never let anybody sign a contract extension. A, that's wrong because Altuve did it, I think. And B, you're not giving enough credit to Juan Soto. Juan Soto's not an idiot. He's the boss, not Scott Boras. Right. So if Juan Soto wants to sign a contract before the season ends, he's going to do it. He's the boss, not Boras. And media people refuse to recognize that.
Yeah, because they're so stuck in their ways and what they think they know, and they got to have a take. Thanks for the call, Bruce. I was watching that on SNY. Like, people guaranteeing 100%. Scott Boras clients, blah, 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 blah. Listen, Scott Boras isn't this baseball Bond villain that we think anymore. The league has worked against him. And Juan Soto employs him. Juan Soto hired him. He works for Juan Soto. So Juan Soto has the final say. And what does Juan Soto say? Juan Soto's focused on hitting homers, taking pitches, working walks, whooping it up with the fans in right field. But he says, my door's been open. They can talk, phone, call, whatever. Now, I'm sure Scott Boras has advised him that, hey, Juan, you want to be the highest paid player. You want to maximize this money. You want the most money for your family for generations. The best way for us to do that is to hit free agency and have other people at the table to see. All right, maybe the Phillies step up. I doubt the Dodgers step up. Who knows? Maybe there's a mystery team. Maybe Scott Boras and these writers, whatever, they can conspire and pretend like there's a mystery team to make the Yankees go up a little bit. That's how the game is played. But I do believe that on May 16th, like I had cited before, Hal Steinbrenner talking about it, right? And then even Juan Soto, they know the phone number and everything. They know where to call. For me right here, I'm focused on playing baseball. For Hal Steinbrenner to say, I don't think there's any doubt. His agent, Scott Boras, blah, 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 blah. This is a unique player. I want him to just get settled. It's business. Before deals get done, negotiations take a while. Why can't they meet over dinner? Why can't they have coffee? Why can't they call on the phone? Hey, Scott, how's it going, man? Well, we're crunching some numbers here. And, you know, like I said to you guys, he's a outfielder. He's a right fielder. Like, he's not Ohtani. I was laughing the other night. Someone was saying, oh, was he going to make more money than Ohtani? And I'm like, nah, because he doesn't pitch and he doesn't hit. He's 25. He'll be 26 when this contract gets made. So you figure if they actually do it to, you know, the end of his career at 38, 39, it's a 12-year, 13-year contract. And in this new world of Major League Baseball and the collective bargaining tax and after this collective bargaining agreement and all these long-term deals that you're seeing with opt-outs and options and deferred money and all these things, they can get crafty. And I think that they're doing this now. And for so many of you that want to fire Cashman over injuries, over trades that went south because of injuries or guys that couldn't play here or whatever. Like, Brian Cashman has been here all these years. He's the person best suited to do this. You want Juan Soto, he's the guy that has to help this Juan Soto deal get done.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
You already know. Your boy KM. Keith McPherson on The Fan talking about the Yankees. That's it. That's the only thing we're going to talk about for the entire night. Just kidding. But to recap, I hit on Hal Steinbrenner's comments. I think he was right. I think a lot of you just like to helicopter in and parachute in and scream about how much beers and food costs at the stadium and how much parking is. It's just old. You know, I said you guys got to refresh your information. Like, hit refresh on your information about Aaron Judge. Hit refresh on your information about Anthony Volpe. Hit refresh on your information about Carlos Rodon. Hit refresh on your information about, you know what I'm saying? Like, hit refresh on your information about the New York Yankees right now. And before the break, I was talking about Brian Cashman and how people were ready to run him out of town. And then I saw this week Andy Martino was talking about, oh, after this deal, he's done. And then my response to that was, he's done when he says he's done. I've called him the eternal Yankees GM. He's been the GM for most of my life. Most of the years that I remember. And I don't think he's going out without a championship. I don't think he's going out without setting up this team for future success. So there is no, oh, after this contract, he's done. I don't think it works like that. Because who is going to do his job when he's gone? He's got to find that guy. He's got to hire that guy. He's got to groom that guy. They're probably working on it right now. 888-808-1019. And let's talk about this Yankees team. Before we talk about this Yankees team, I listen to the fan like you guys do. And I'm not on till late at night. And I have mostly kids listening. And shout out to all the guys that work the night shift like I do. And the people that drive and tap in. And the people that never call and just are up at night. And you know, rock with me till KM to 2 a.m. But I hear guys all day during the daylight hours talking about the Yankees getting punched in the mouth. And oh, what they did or didn't do against the Orioles. Like, that Orioles series was the first series in Camden Yards. Aaron Judge had one hit in that series. You guys forgot that. Aaron had one hit in that series. That was before he started to go absolutely insane, right? The inflection point is May 4th. My birthday was May 1st. I thought about going to Camden Yards for my birthday. I thought otherwise. They didn't have Verdugo. And as I talked about Carlos Rodon and how much hinged on his success, his worst start of the year happened to be against the Orioles. So I just keep hearing all these narratives about how they can't beat the Orioles. Going back to last year, last year's done. This team is not the team the Orioles were facing last year. And I'm tired of hearing about how great the Orioles are and how the Orioles never get swept. They got swept in October. They were swept out of the postseason. 101 regular season wins, not one postseason win. And they just got swept by the St. Louis Cardinals. And don't look now, folks. They trail the Chicago White Sox, who the Yankees swept 2-1 in the top of the fourth. So the big bad Orioles that are just so elite that own the Yankees, that are behind the Yankees in the standings right now because they just got swept by the St. Louis Cardinals, who were a last place team last year and at points of this year. Like, it's just something easy for folks to say. Whether you're a host or a caller, it's just easy to say, oh, well, these Yankees got punched in the mouth by Seattle the first two games. I had to break that down for you the last few nights. They were leading 4-1. Clay Holmes blew a save. His second night coming out to the stadium getting dark and music being played for his entrance, which he earned, right? The reason that they're even doing that is because Clay has been so great. So you're going to blow saves. Guys aren't perfect. They're human beings. And that's baseball. It is what it is. You're going to lose games. So I wasn't really tripping about that at all. And then the second game they lost, Clark Schmidt was tipping his pitches. Learn from it. Mistakes were made. You know, Gleyber Torres, if he puts that ball in his pocket instead of skipping it past Rizzo, maybe something different happens. If Aaron Boone, who never does this, no manager does this, gets on the podium and admits fault, basically said, in hindsight, yeah, we shouldn't have pitched Clayton Andrews there. He was gone right after the game. They sent him right back down. But in a four-game set, against an elite team. I never said the Mariners were elite. And I hear people calling the Mariners elite. I'm like, what are you on? What are you talking about? Because they're in first place and they're a couple games over 500. Their best player sucked in this series. Their highest paid player was trash in this series. Had one hit. Clark Schmidt was tipping his pitches. We get the heroics from Gleyber Torres. And Clayton Andrews comes out. And I was there, sucked the air out of the place. People started hitting the door, drive home safely. But then what did they do? Realizing we dropped two, we lost back-to-back games for the first time. We didn't get the party in the clubhouse like we do after wins with the lights going off and Future and Metro Boomin playing. They locked in, and on Nasty Nestor night, they played up. Strike them out, throw them out, double play. Volpe gets on, Judge hits it out. And then they finished the job today. 888. 808-1019. Let's get back to the phones. I just wanted to clear this up. This is my last show of the week. The Yankees are good, and it's okay to admit that they're good and they look good and that they have all three facets of the game. I know football is three facets, but they have the hitting in the lineup. They have the rotation. They have the bullpen. And the numbers back it up. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Believe what you're seeing. Believe your eyes. And really, there should be a fourth factor. The fourth factor is these guys root for each other. They like each other. They have each other's backs. They enjoy playing with one another. They're on their way. You can only take it what, folks? Day by day, series by series, week by week, month to month. We can't just jump to October. And so for all the people saying, oh, well, what if this is foreshadowing October? What if it's not? What if the Mariners fall off a cliff? What if the Orioles stay behind us? Like, whatever, we'll deal with that then. But for people so quickly to like go through a seven-game win streak. Like, did you forget that they won seven in a row? And then they lose two in a row, and it's like the seven games never happened. I'm like, what is going on? Ryan is in Hazlitt, my guy. Thanks for holding. You're on the Fan.
Yo, you're all good, bro. Don't worry about it. You know, it's just the night before Memorial Day weekend, you know? You're going down to that DJ's, huh?
Of course. I'm from there. I grew up there. I was going to DJ's long before I ever thought I'd speak on WFAN.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like to call it Dejois. Give it a little French accent, you know? I want to say congratulations on the on getting those games. I watched you. What do you? I saw you were looking fresh. You were
sounding
fresh.
Yeah, that's crazy,
you know?
Too. I completely forgot that you can switch the broadcast on MLB.TV to listen to the radio, and Yes Network can cue their camera to shoot us in the booth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved it, man. You know what? You know what? Keep it up, bro. I love it, man. I love talking to you. You're great. You do the long form. And you know what? You let people get some of their opinions out, even though some of them are like, dude, we need to do this and this. It's not even June 1st yet, and we're in first place.
Yeah, I try to let people talk, like yourself. You waited on hold for an hour and some change. I don't want to rush you off in 10 seconds. I'm no better than anybody
I'm busy doing Uber Eats right now, so I'm just going from store to store. I just got to hit it on mute once in a while, just on when I was on hold.
Awesome, man. Grind. Get the paper. I know the grind. I know the. You're not going to get more than a $2 tip on average, and then they're going to leave you a note to, like, drop it off at a window or leave it on the front door or come into the house and make a left.
Oh, there was one time I had to go to an apartment, and the guy made me sit at the door for 15 minutes, man. I was like, are you kidding me?
I didn't last long. I think I might have had like 20, 25 Uber Eats rides. I got like 700 Lyft rides. Uber Eats, I couldn't do it. It was too much. But it's like, what would you rather carry, humans or food? Yeah.
How was that? By the way, how was that sleep once you finally got it? Was it like when you had a child? You just like, you're dead to the world after those games?
I slept pretty decent on Sunday night. I still didn't even sleep that great on Saturday night. I went to White Eagle Hall. There was this Jersey Fest thing that I signed up for.
Yeah.
And I had to get on stage and introduce some bands and stuff. I slept good Saturday. I slept good Sunday. But no, there is no like long sleep in my apartment because my son screams at 6:30 every morning. He's up and he needs his bottle. And then when you go to change him, he acts like it's new. He acts like it's a new thing. I'm like, we do the same routine every morning, and you freak out like you don't know it's coming. So,
I got a 3-year-old that just laughs literally and runs away. So,
well, I'm waiting to get there. My son is in the stage where he screams, and then he does this thing where he throws his head back and like arches his back like he wants you to drop him. I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
And he does it at the worst time too, when you're like juggling 9 things.
Oh, yeah, I shaved him the other day. He almost went headfirst into the, like, TV entertainment center, the TV stand, bouncing on the couch. I had my cell phone in one hand, the remote in the other hand. Having a kid is crazy. I don't know how so many people do it.
Yeah, man. So, I just wanted to get back on the Yankees. You know, like, all these, you know, they're talking about stuff, you know. You hear Hal. You know, they see the collective bargaining. They know what's going to happen. Some of the things you don't know that's come down the road is like, you know, these streaming bumps, you know, stuff like that to be able to get more revenue. And honestly, with the whole Soto thing, I'm going to say it like this. LA literally opened Pandora's box with those deferred payments. We could be paying Soto until he's 2064, you know, like crazy, you know, it's like stuff like that. But you never know what's going to happen, you know. What happened? We're only in June. I'm saying it like this hypothetically because I know we got a week.
We're not even in June. We still got a whole another week to get to.
Well, wait until the trade deadline. What happens if somebody goes down or somebody else like that? And like, I'm just gonna throw a name out there. I'm not even saying it like I want it to happen. What happens if Verlander comes available? We can get him for a playoff run and win a championship.
I can't.
Do you think
stand
he's not gonna open up? I know. I get it. You have your thought about him, but you know what? If you got to taste the poison to get a parade, you know what I mean? It's like
we got enough like pitching. I don't want to see Verlander in a Yankee hat and pinstripes ever.
Never. But like, you never know what happens, you know. And it's not like Hal's not going to do it, you know.
It's not like Cashman isn't going to leave. You know, I talked to him in the suite, and I said, yo, stack the deck, bro. Leave no stone unturned. He said, all we can do is try. We always try. They're going to try to add at the deadline to ensure this run.
And you know, there's going to be one play where, like, you're going to be like, why'd they sign him? Because you know the Orioles are probably going to want to get him. And then all of a sudden you're like, all right, yeah, I can't let them get him.
Right.
You know, like something like that.
You play keep away and you stack the deck to have insurance plans. Ryan, you're the man. Go Dukes. Thanks for the call.